It's been one of those Sundays. I discovered at tea time last night that my musician for Lime Kilns had COVID. So there was kind of panic. And
sorry,
just...
Robin, you're not on.
This is?
This is, well, it's not recording up here, sorry.
Have you got it switched on, George? This is Cairney Hill. This is how we run things. Well, it's... So, right, okay.
Yeah. What were you doing? You did correctly, well
done. I didn't do it. I have for many years been a member of an angling club, and there was one guy in the club, sadly, who is no longer with us, who at virtually every outing, when he got picked on, he said, "That's it, I'm resigning." I'm just scared they might take me up on it. Anyway, it's good to be here, and it's... I suppose it's good that you know that we do have a lot of fun in Cairney Hill Church. You're allowed to laugh here. You're allowed to run around if you're a small person. And if during the service anybody needs to go out, just feel free to do so. If you need a bit of a wander with small children, do so. We're not very formal. I think I'll just hand over to Rob, who'll take us through a few of the notices for today.
Good morning, everyone. And a warm welcome to our service, especially if you're a newcomer, visitor, or attending as part of the Hughes Baptismal Party. Intimations. For the next few weeks, any urgent notices will be given verbally in church and will appear on our Facebook page. From the 21st of August, the printed sheet will be available each Sunday at church, in addition to the online and email versions resuming. Fife Carers Centre Unpaid Carers Social Group. A new facility offered by the charity FCC started on Thursday the 4th of August and will continue every second Thursday between 11 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. in our manse meeting rooms. Support, companionship, fun activities and information. Open to all who are providing unpaid care for a family member or friend. Contact details are available. Chirrup Celebration. There will be an event to celebrate the completion of a renovation of the interior of the church at 12 noon on Saturday the 20th of August. This will include a barbecue and picnic in the man's garden. We will be renaming the session house as the Irene Patterson Room to commemorate the generous legacy left to the church by Irene. The moderator of the General Assembly, the Right Reverend Dr. Ian Greenshields, will attend the proceedings. Please be there. Kids at Church, Catch. Our monthly Kids at Church, or Catch, will recommence on Sunday the 4th September and the first Sunday of each month thereafter. Catch is a fun way to take children and young people through the stories of the Bible in an engaging manner, making use of the latest technology and also some old favourite games. All children are welcome, and it takes place in the manse while the service is on in the church. Finally, here is a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Well, we're here to worship God. We're going to begin by singing the 23rd Psalm, but not in the traditional version. This is a version written by a modern musician called Stuart Townend, which we've used a number of times, and it comes up as a YouTube clip with the words on screen. So let's sing "The Lord's My Shepherd."
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our giving. Receive our gifts and use them in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, this is the baptismal bit of our service. The sacrament of baptism is the appointed means of entrance into Christ's church. And today we're welcoming Hugh, the son of Tom and Laura Hempelman, who is brother of Henry. Where's Henry? There's Henry. Hi, Henry. Jesus told his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke these words. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, every one whom the Lord our God calls to him. Apart from these words, it is very clear from the gospel record that Jesus had a great love for children and would not allow them to be excluded. So in this sacrament, we obey Christ's command and we follow his example by welcoming a child into our midst, into our fellowship here, a fellowship of God's people. That means that we as a congregation accept the responsibility of helping our children to grow in faith. But we recognise that within this, the primary responsibility lies with parents. And so I'm going to ask Hugh's parents if they would stand and make their promises. Do you present this child to be baptized, earnestly desiring that he become part of the body of Christ, which is the church? Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach this child the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example to bring him up in the life and worship of the church? May the Lord bless you and enable you to keep the promises that you have made today. Please be seated. This promise, or there is a promise also for you as a congregation here, for by being here you are promising to help Hugh's parents to fulfill their promises. So, the answer to the question is, with God's help, we will. And I'm going to ask you if you would stand. Will you be faithful to your calling as members of the Church of Christ so that this child and all the other children in your midst may grow up in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ? With God's help, we will. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask your blessing on the children of our church and our community. We bring Hugh to you, asking you to be present to him all the days of his life. And then, in your good time, fulfilling the promise of this sacrament, bring him to a living faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that you will enable us to be faithful to the promises we have made, and that you will prevent us from doing anything that might harm our children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, would you like to bring Hugh forward? You two too? Yeah. You've got to help, haven't you? Now, the question is, would you like... Well, we do this. Right. Yeah. Right? What's this? Look. Right. Hugh Matthew Lovelock, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, descend upon you and dwell in your heart forever. Amen. Yes, I was worried about the glasses. Would you like to go and speak to your dad? And your brother? Oh, there we go.
You've had it done already. You don't need it done again.
Yes. You had your shot. Right. If you'd like to be seated, that would be fine. We're going to sing the blessing. It's the Lord bless you and keep you. You'll see the words up there. This is one of the oldest blessings that we use. It's called the Aaronic, that's from Aaron, Aaronic blessing, and is probably about 3,000 to 4,000 years old. So for it. Thank you. well done. According to a Christ commandment, Hugh Matthew Lovelock Hempelman is now received into the membership of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church and is engaged to be faithful to Jesus Christ all the days of his life. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather here in your presence as a family of your people, we remember that we all here are your children and that your blessing is upon us. We thank you for all that you give to us in life and in faith, and pray that we may all grow as your family, honouring you as your people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, I've got here a certificate that says you have been baptised. And there's a book for you to read, which might be a safer thing. And I will put your name on the cradle roll. And interestingly, the name above your name is Henry's. We don't have an awful lot of baptisms, and obviously over this last while we've been living through some very strange times. But it is good to welcome you here. Yes. And this is the point where we're going to sing the baptismal hymn, which is Our Children, Lord in Faith and Prayer. And you don't need to sit at the front for the whole service. You can go out and join family and friends. You're welcome to sit there if you wish, but you can move around.
Sunday school. Oh,
right, okay, so children can go out. We'll sing at the end, just at the end of the hymn. That would be a good time to go. So we're going to sing Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer. As we've discovered, the children children can go out and enjoy things out there. If some parents want to go out, you can. If children want to come back in and find parents, they can. In fact, just do what you're comfortable with. This morning, Rosemary is going to be leading us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace today, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, in joy, and in peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of children and the gift of new life. May baby Hugh always know your love, your wisdom, and your care. Father God, you are unconditional love. We are privileged to be filled by your presence. The youth are filled with your vision. The old are filled with your wisdom. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we worship you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the sure foundation of our faith. And when our faith is weak, it is because we are not resting our hearts upon you, but trying to go it alone or be dependent on our own flimsy grounds. Forgive us, Father, Lord, when we wander from your paths and find ourselves lost and troubled or doing foolish things. Keep us safe in your love, and so let our faith be sure and steadfast, whatever we may have to face in life. Help us to be more understanding and forgiving of others as we bring to you now our own personal thoughts and confession. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your willingness to forgive, and to let us again try to be your people. Here in our church today, strengthen our faith, that we might go out from here restored and ready to help others in their needs. We ask this in your name, and we further pray now together in your words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our readings, our Bible readings this morning come from the book of Psalms and from the first letter of Peter. And Alistair is going to read for us.
So as we come to our Bible readings, let's pray that the Lord will speak to us and help us understand what we are hearing. So then, from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, Psalm 67, reading from verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. And then our second reading from the New Testament, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. And here Peter is calling us to a new way of life.
as he states it in the previous verse, verse 3, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So he continues, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined to. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
We continue by singing hymn number 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise.
Thank you.
In conversation over the last 2 to 3 decades, I've been amazed at how many people have talked about doing genealogical research, how many people have been looking into their family tree. It seems a whole industry has grown up around this. If you go onto things like Facebook or whatever, you'll get adverts. If you watch TV, you'll see adverts about help to go through your family tree. There was a time when very few people seemed to be much interested, and it was definitely a minority interest. But now there is this enormous industry. Perhaps the technology which facilitates such research has had the effect of making this more popular. And of course, this interest is reflected in television programmes. I wonder how many of us here watch these things. You know, who do you think you are? And so we follow the lives or the background of people who are celebrities. A significant number of people have told me about finding out that they are related to remarkable people in the past. In the television programmes about celebrities, we can be surprised at who they are related to going back into the past. My sister has been doing research on our family tree, and I've got to say that Marion Penny was very helpful in pointing me towards her daughter, who helped me find out about some of my family in the north of Scotland. And we've added all of that together. And my sister, speaking to me recently, told me something quite remarkable. She's not been able to go very far back in our family, neither on my dad or my mum's side. And what she has discovered is that there is absolutely no one of any note or any distinction in my background. By background, I am utterly and completely ordinary. There is no one of note. As far as we know, there is not anybody that would even make a footnote in a history book. And it feels kind of unique. Now, it will come as no surprise to you if I tell you that my wife, Karen, is exactly the opposite. Her family tree is of note. In fact, she has a certificate from the Lord Lion King of Arms to say so. Back at the turn of the 20th century, whether it be in Strathspey or in the Scottish borders, my family are all agricultural workers. Now, this interest in our genealogy, in our family tree, some people have suggested that it's because our society is changing so rapidly that people are looking for something that gives identity. Our roots, that family tree, provide stability when everything else around us seems so impermanent. In ancient times, and certainly in biblical times, identity was very much to do with your genealogy. At a very simple level, in a time when there were no formal surnames, you were known as son of. Of course, in Scotland, we recognise that because that's where Mac comes from. But you'll also find it in English names that have son at the end. In Jesus, we have Jesus, son of Joseph. In the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, we are given a very extensive genealogy for Jesus. an indication of how important that was, because it said who he was. Now, I don't know if Hugh will look at his father and think, that's my identity. That may be difficult when he becomes a teenager. Whether he will look at his grandparents or be told about great-grandparents and before and see that as his identity. But many people do. It is good to know who we are. When Paul wrote to a Christian community in Corinth, we find this in 1 Corinthians in the Bible, he says to the people there, think of what you were when you were called. None of you were wise by human standards, not many influential, not many were of noble birth. And that description was very true of the early church. Most of those who came to faith in the gospel were very ordinary people. And so when Peter, the letter that we read just a short while ago, when Peter was writing, he was writing to people who saw themselves as very ordinary. Now, it's good to know who's writing, where they're writing from, why they're writing, and who they're writing to. So very briefly, Peter is writing from Rome, where he was in captivity. He had been arrested, so he knew something of being arrested for his faith. He was writing to people who saw themselves very much on the margins of society and were undergoing a certain level of persecution. And this is to encourage. The letter is to a number of churches. It's not to a specific church. It's a kind of general letter to an area, the area that we would know as modern-day Turkey. The fact that many ordinary people found faith in God through Christ meant that the great and the good saw this as evidence of foolishness and how easily uneducated people could be misled. These were people who could be safely ignored, derided. And it's into that situation that Peter writes. Some of those he was writing to would have been Jews, and they would have understood a lot about God and accepting Jesus as Messiah. But the others would have been Gentiles. And in that world, there were many gods. The norm was to believe in many gods. To believe in one God actually had the early church occasionally accused of atheism because you didn't believe in enough gods. They were going against the accepted wisdom of their society. And the judgment of that society was at best negative, more likely contemptuous. These were foolish nobodies who could safely be dismissed by the great and the good. For these churches to receive a letter from Peter would have meant a great deal. Peter was Jesus' closest disciple. And having been so close to Jesus, he was kind of the de facto leader of the early church. And so that letter and his words would have carried real weight. In our age, in our time, in our society, we also need Peter's words of encouragement. In our ever more secular and materialist society, it can make those of us who are part of the church feel very much that we are aliens and strangers in the world. To have faith is regarded as an oddity. To believe in God means that we don't go with the belief of our times. The secularism, materialism, and individualism of our society would have us believe that what they offer is tangible and real, when the truth is that the things of this world are temporary and transient. They don't last. The world guarantees nothing, and what the world offers can very quickly disappear. And so Peter presents a contrast. People who were looked down on as being ordinary. A bit like I could look at myself as coming from nothing. You know, who am I to think I'm anybody? I'm just a wee guy that grew up in a council housing estate in the Borders. Nothing more. And in a sense, that is true. That is who I am. But under God, I am somebody different. What were we inviting Hugh into, as we said he was part of the church? Well, he was invited into a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. He was invited into what is an eternal reality, not the temporary things of this earth. So what Peter is saying to those folk 2,000 years ago, but to us in our age, is that we are not a product of our genes, nor of our society. They have an effect on us, there is no doubt. But we are not governed by genealogy, nor the judgment of society. We are who God says we are. And so our confidence is not in self, but in God through Christ. We are and have what the world cannot give. And this means that what we are and have, the world cannot take away. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And so the wee man in the pulpit is a prince. And the wee man whom we baptized this morning is a prince. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And it's good for us as church to remember that, and maybe especially on a day when we have welcomed a child into the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, thinking about our world of which we are part, it is right and it is good that we pray for our world. And so Rosemary is going to come and lead us in our prayers for others.
Dear Lord and Father of all, we thank you for your still, small voice of calm that reaches out to us through the strains and stresses of life. And in that calm, now we bring to you our prayers for others and for our world. Heavenly Father, teach us to pray with love and understanding and grace. Help us to see and to hear the needs that are all around us. Teach us always, O God, to care. Creator God, we hold before you our broken and hurting world, people fearful and anxious, a world of hunger and of pain, a world of grief and anger, a world where conflict abounds, a world where leaders often appear to be more concerned about serving their own interests rather than those whom they are called to represent. But we know this is not the end. This is not how you intend it to be. And so we pray for our world in its diversity and its delight, its random colours and shapes, sizes and personalities. We pray for the goodness of your love, for all people, places and situations that need peace justice, equality, hope, love, light and renewal, and ask that you would show us how to help through our own words and actions. We continue to pray for Ukraine and give thanks that the grain ship Razoni has been cleared to sail on from Turkish waters to the Lebanon, and a further convoy of grain and sunflower oil have left Ukraine. We give thanks for the hope and the peace that rests on all of this for humanity. We think of the situation in Taiwan and pray that there will be no further military escalation arising from the current diplomatic position between the United States and China. We bring to you the conflict that has flared in the Middle East after a year of relative peace, and we pray that further escalation there can be avoided and that calm will again be restored in the coming days. We give thanks for the spirit of friendship being shown at the Commonwealth Games and for setting the scene to showcase the world's most inclusive, fair and progressive multi-sport event. God of love, we pray for the whole family of your church. Grant that we and all your people may be built up in our faith and always show in our lives the love and care we see in Jesus. Give courage to those who find it hard to follow you, to those who find it difficult to have faith, and to those who are made to suffer for their faith. We pray for your blessing to rest upon our church here in Cairney Hill. We are grateful for its worship and its fellowship, for its nurture and love across all generations. God of all compassion, bring comfort to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and give them courage and hope in their troubles. Bless those who mourn and heal their brokenness with your gentle touch. Help us to live always in the mindfulness of your promise that the road of faith will lead us to your heavenly kingdom. We each bring to you now, merciful Father, all we hold closely in the quietness of our hearts today. In all the needs of the world, Father Lord, you are always there, and all of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final hymn is number 249. We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus Saves.
Jesus saves.
go now with the blessing of God. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.